Good morning. I feel more comfortable down here. The day I think I feel comfortable up there speaking is the day you all know I'm called to preach. Well, I teach. I don't preach very much, but I heard a long time ago that preaching is teaching with the intent to persuade. So I'll try to throw some persuasion in there this morning as we look at God's Word today. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1. It's good to see you all today. I haven't seen some of you in a while. I usually go to the other morning service. Well, I have a picture on the screen of people all over the world. So the question that I have to go with it is, let's see if I can get this to work. There it goes. I might have to reach down. What in the world is going on, right? What in the world is going on? Well, there are always things going on in the world. What is going on in our country? Anybody see the presidential debate? I would say in the presidential debate, to say the least, there was a little tension there. Wouldn't you agree? If that's representative of what's going on in the world, there's some tension going on in the world. But there is always tension going on in the world, right? Always. I thought about this. I thought about the year that I was born. Some of you may remember well the year that I was born. The year that I was born was a year in America where there was just peace, calm, and tranquility. The year I was born was 1968. Oh boy, that was not a good year, was it? That wasn't a good year in America. There was tension going on there in that year from what I learned in history, in studying. I thought about, as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about the year that my father was born. My father was born on June 5th, 1944. June 5th. How many know what happened the next day? On June 6th, 1944, that was D-Day, right? And the world was at war. And then I thought, my dad gave me a certificate, a copy of a certificate. I believe it was of my great-great-great-grandfather's enlistment into the Civil War. He was a Pennsylvania farmer. I didn't know that anybody from my family had ever lived in Pennsylvania before, but the things you learn, right? And on the back, my father had written out all of the battles that my great-great-great-grandfather had been in, at least a dozen of them. I thought, wow, I like history, so I thought that was great. But we've always had conflict and tension, right? Because we're people. What do people in the world not understand? I'll leave that open. That's an open question, right? What do people in the world not understand? Any answers out there? That there is a God? They don't understand about the one true God?
The love of God.
That God has a plan for life. Isn't it interesting how some can believe that there is a God, but stop right there, right? And then their plan is whatever they want, whatever they make it.
When he comes back, there'll be peace everywhere.
Yes, when the Lord returns, there will be peace. That's hard for some to believe, though, right? Living in the world in which we live now. People also do not understand what? They don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the gospel. And they really don't understand the big picture of who we all are. And I'll see if I have my remote working. Uh-oh. I don't know why it's not. It looks like I'll have to. That's supposed to represent Adam and Eve after sin in the garden. Does it look like it? Adam and Eve. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 1. We don't know what Adam and Eve looked like. I have my own opinions of what they may have looked like. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." That's a familiar verse to all of us. But Adam and Eve were created in the image of God, right? Adam and Eve were. And I'm still gonna hope against hope that this is going to work. It doesn't want to. So Adam and Eve, they were told in the Garden of Eden when they left, they were told to be fruitful, multiply, and what? And fill the earth, replenish the earth, right? They were supposed to fill the earth with people. And so from that, and it's really difficult for me to read here without my glasses, be fruitful and multiply. So we have Genesis 1:28, the very next verse in our text. And then also when Noah and his family came off the ark, they were given the same command, if you look at it, the exact same command to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So I'm not going to say anything in here that most of you, if not all of you, don't already know. But I was thinking about the condition specifically, not just of the world, but specifically of our country right now and all that is going on. And what should we think about it? And what should our reaction be to things that are going on? There is division. There, of course, is political division, and that's pretty obvious. But I was thinking, you know, the Bible tells us...
Put your laptop on.
Oh, okay. Think it'll work? Oh, okay. Appreciate it. I'm probably going out of the camera and back into the camera. Thank you. You know what this means? The Bible tells us that we all came from the same people. Don't we believe that as Christians? That's something that people in the world don't know, right? I don't think they really realize that. You know, there's some pretty bad teachings out there, you know, that really cause division, that are divisive teachings. And we did. We can look at it. We came from Adam and Eve. They were the two that were told to replenish the earth. That's interesting, isn't it? I mentioned the year that I was born, and I've said this before, but the year that I was born, there was less than half of the world population right now. The population of the world as we know it today has more than doubled in my lifetime. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? I looked it up. I looked up the year and I looked up the world population and I thought, wow. So, and I know there have been wars and death and disease and things like that. You ever wonder what the world population was before the flood? People try to estimate that population before the flood. But within my lifetime, the population of the world has grown exponentially, right? And so I can imagine, you know, what the population with people, with Adam, who's living to be 950 years old. I can imagine the population of the world. And the Bible says, we'll catch up to this a little bit, that things weren't going so well in that world. That that the people that lived during the time of Noah, what? That their thoughts were what? Evil continually, and the earth was filled with violence, right? Can you imagine that? We wouldn't want to live in that civilization. We would not want to live in that culture. I would think it'd be worse than what we're living in today. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? But, you know, where God had to destroy everybody that was there. But, you know, Adam and Eve, and then consequentially Noah and his family, isn't it interesting that Noah just happened to have three sons and they all happened to be married? Right? And they all went on the ark. And God used those people to begin again mankind on the earth. And they contained in their DNA all the genetic code for all of us. That's amazing, isn't it? When we think of it. I think that's hard for people to understand, too. They don't grasp that. It's kind of odd, but interesting to think that we're all related. Right? No, we don't walk around every day with that in the forefront of our minds. But when we think about what the Bible teaches, it's true. That's true. And I have an interesting picture here of these two young girls right there. Their names are Kian and Remy. You know they're twins. Those two are twins. They were born in Great Britain. And they were born, I believe, in the year 2005. And there's their mom there with them. And their mom and their dad both have relatives who have lighter skin and darker skin. And there they are. Pretty easy to see how Adam and Eve can have children that will look different, right? And Noah and his sons and daughters, how we could all come from the same people group. And so what I teach, as I teach over in the academy, and I've shared this information even with our students, with our high school students, I teach that there are no evolved races of people. There are no evolved races of people. That would cause division, wouldn't it? If we go back in history, we can see how divisive that would be. We don't have to go back that far, do we? You know, I mentioned World War II already. You know, this would cause division, this belief system right here. But if people understood what the Bible teaches, that we all come from the same people, that we're all related, well, you know, we all have a sin nature though, don't we? But I think this is a good springboard. I'll get to this at the end. You know, we have different people groups, right? But not evolved races of people. We have different people groups. And so where did all this start? Well, we know that the Bible teaches that when Noah and his family came off the ark and they started to settle and migrate and become more and more, they all settled in the same place. Many of them did, that we know of, in the plain of what? Shinar. In the plain of Shinar. They settled in the plain of Shinar. And by the way, I wanted to share this verse. I like this verse. This verse is in Acts 17:26. Let's flip over there to Acts 17:26 and take a look at it. And Paul is in Athens. The context of Acts 17, Paul is in Athens, and he's rebuking the worshipers there. Isn't it interesting? He's rebuking a polytheistic culture. And what does he do in his rebuke of the polytheistic culture? Well, he says you're worshiping an unknown God. And he starts to tell them about the one true God. We've already brought that out today, that the people in the world don't know about the one true God. We still have polytheistic cultures today, don't we? We do. That need to be told about the one true God. And I think it's interesting that in Paul's rebuke, in his teaching with the intent to persuade, Paul says to them in Acts chapter 26 about worshiping gods, he says the one true God, verse 26, and hath made, God hath made, of one blood all nations, of one blood, all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Isn't that interesting? I'll talk about the boundaries or the bounds of people's habitation in a minute. But when they went to the plain of Shinar, there were many of them in one place. Right? Many people in one place. Many people in one place who are not following after the Lord, that's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? Many people all together in one place. What happens? Well, we learn about people and we learn about God when we're looking at now we're switching over to Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. We can read about the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11, where all the people were, and they were building a structure. I don't know what it looked like. Some think it may have looked like this structure right here. That's interesting, isn't it? Perhaps some sort of ziggurat that gets smaller and smaller with steps that go up to the top. And I think it's interesting that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 11, God said of the people, he said, all these people together in one spot without reference to me, and now nothing will be strained from them which they have imagined to do. And remember what God said about the thoughts of man in the days of Noah? That they were imagining evil continually all the time. God knows us, doesn't he? And God saw these people, and you could debate about what they were doing and why they were building the tower and what their frame of mind was, but God knew where they were going, right? God knew the direction they were going. He said, nothing's going to be restrained from them. That tells us something about ourselves. Nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. And people can imagine a lot of things. And so what did God do? Well, the Bible says that the Lord scattered them abroad from the face of all the earth. He scattered them just to nowhere. Well, in Acts 17, God says he knew the habitation of people, right? Where they were going to be. The people of one blood, that God would move them to where they were going to be. I may be getting a little bit ahead of myself, so let me check my notes here. I think when I think of Noah and his family, and I think of just looking now at population growth in my lifetime going back to the year I was born, and just looking at the population explosion, to me it stands to reason that if we go back in history far enough, we could have fewer and fewer and fewer people, right? Wouldn't that be scientific? If we have 7.5 billion people today, and then 50 years ago we have half that, would it stand to reason as you keep going back, you'd have fewer people? It could, right? That would be logical. But could you imagine going back 4,000 years? 4,000 years and say, could we have started with eight? With eight people? Wow. That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? We started with eight. We have 4,000 years since then. And I just find it interesting that, you know, some people look at the book of Genesis as allegorical and symbolic, but I'm glad that I look at the Bible literally when I'm reading it, and I don't have to wonder what this might stand for. You know, I see God moving people, and you know, I could from this region, they moved and migrated to different places, and I can look at the world map today and see how that is verified. I could just look at it and see. It definitely looks to me like there are different people groups that come from certain regions in the world. For example, there's a world map up there. I have a group of people holding those flags with the red circles in the middle. And where are they from?
Japan.
Yeah, there we go. They're from Japan, right? They're from Asia, right? They look a little similar, don't they? In Japan, we have a missionary here, the Rays. I remember when they were. I've seen him before when he was a lot younger, and he had his red hair that he's always talking about. I don't know. He's about 6'2" or something like that. And they're missionaries to China. He said when he and his family went to China, they kind of stood out, a big tall guy with red hair, in China. Yeah, and. I picked the next one. Does anybody know what country that is in Africa? It is. It's Kenya. Good. That's Kenya over there. I picked that one. I had a friend in college from Kenya, and he taught me the only two words in Swahili that I know, and it's hello and how are you. But I don't think I better try to start a conversation using those words. And you think of people from Kenya. And then what about this one? Any guesses? They have the green Did anybody say Ireland? Ireland, yeah. You think of people from Ireland, an image pops in your head, right? You think of people from Kenya, an image pops in your head. You think of people from Japan, an image pops in your head, right? Within the last 500 years, we've had a lot of Europeans and people from Asia come all the way over to the New World, right? Where we live. So there are a lot of people from all over the place here. But if you look at the world map, you say, oh yeah, this people group moved here, and this people group moved there, and this people group moved here. Isn't that kind of obvious, looking at a map, that the people, it's, you know, they could all be in one place and then go to a different places and come from there. And now there's just more and more and more people, you know, filling the earth. And so, yeah, even looking at a world map backs up the Bible teaching of what? Of the tower, of the dispersion. So when I see people in the world, I see dispersed people groups, right? That's what I see. So where are we going with all this? Well, the dispersed people groups that are all related are animosity. Isn't it? You just kind of step back away from it and you say, why are we at such odds with other nations? Why are we worried about, for example, the government? Why are we worried about China? Because there's a huge body of water that separates us, right? They're over there and we're over here. If they were over here, if we all lived together, then there wouldn't be that animosity, right? But that says something about people. That says something about nations. And people covet and they want what other nations have, right? And you can go on down the line. And it says a lot about people. But Pastor says from the pulpit, many times he expects people in the world to act like people in the world that aren't saved, that aren't Christians. And that's what we expect. But when I see people, I don't think of people from other nations. When we see people as Christians, we see people just as what? People. People as people, right? And as Christians, we see people as brother and sister, right? And even if you're not Christians, we are still brother and sister, aren't we? We are. But we're all essentially the same. And that leads us back to our text verse. How are we all essentially the same? Well, we're all created in God's image, right? We're all created in God's image. And, you know, during the presidential debate, I was thinking, boy, neither one of these guys are being led by the Spirit right now. You know, I was thinking, wouldn't it be nice if people could get up and express their views, their viewpoints, without attacking one another? That would be good, right? If people could do that. That's hard for us to do sometimes. You know, the book of James says that we use our tongue to bless God, and then also to do what? Curse man. And the book of James says, these things ought not so to be, because man is made in the image of God. Wow. That's a rebuke, isn't it? So why am I not supposed to use my words against people as a Christian? Why am I not supposed to attack you verbally or even think bad thoughts about you? Well, because we're made in the image of God. We're all made in the image of God. And you know, that's something that people in the world don't understand, right? And they need to learn that, right? They need to learn that. And the students in our academy need to know that. You know, they need to know that we're all related. They need to know that we're all made in the image of God. They need to know that there are no evolved races, no division. And they need to know that what God expects of us. And what does God expect of us as Christians? Wow. You know, we could go on with that one for a while. But I was thinking, God tells us actually to prefer one another. So in a time when there is division, in the world, I'll tell you, I don't watch a lot of news. And sometimes when I watch the news, it kind of makes me upset. watching the news, because there's division, isn't there? And tension. You know, there's division and tension there. And I can't watch the news for very long. I want to watch it to see what's going on, to get the facts. But there's always division going on and being presented. And boy, if people could... here's where I was going with that. I think sometimes, you know, whatever we see, whatever we're taking in, a lot of times that's what comes out. And I think as Christians, a lot of times we can get drawn into something, right? We should stand for what's right. And we want leaders who stand for what's right. I'm not saying that. But we could get drawn into a battle, and we could, you know, we could start acting a certain way that we're not supposed to. And it happens often, doesn't it? Sitting there and you're watching something, and somebody's saying something on the news or something, and all of a sudden we're saying something out loud. You know, we're talking to the television. You know, and I think, wow, I'm getting sucked into this. And there's a lot going on right now to get sucked into. But what should my reaction be? Well, I have to keep things in a biblical perspective, don't I? In a biblical perspective. You know, it's all in God's hands. You know, for example, it's election year. The election's in the Lord's hands, isn't it? It's in the Lord's hands. We do what we can do. You know, we do what's right. We, you know, as Pastor was talking about, we vote. You know, we vote. We pray for our leaders. You know, God can work through the lives of leaders, can't he? He can work through the lives of leaders. And, you know, I'm not going to decide who the President of the United States will be. I can't do it. I'm just one person. You know, I'm not going to decide that. But I can pray about it. I pray to the Lord, and we can all do what's right and stand for what's right. But what does the Bible say about preferring one another? Well, I thought about practical things people can do, you know, to prefer. Even now. Boy, even now. You know, I see people out, and, you know, I go to stores or something. I see people coming in. I just hold the door for them. Hold the door for other people. Or let somebody go first. I was in Walmart yesterday, unfortunately. I was in Walmart. It was crowded. I didn't want to be in there, but I was getting something and leaving. I just wanted to get in and get out as fast as I could, and it was crowded, and there were some people going. People with a family with a couple carts full of stuff, and I wanted to hurry up and zip past them, but it would have seemed like I was cutting them off and rude, and I said, you go ahead, and I let them go. You know, people appreciate that. They do, don't they? When you hold a door for somebody out in public. But just practical ways, I'm thinking of practical ways to prefer one another. What's another practical way to prefer somebody else? I had to think about that for a while. Practical ways. Any ideas? What's that?
Listen to them.
Yes.
Try to understand
them. I think we get in conversations many times, and we're just waiting in a conversation to say what we want to say next. Listening is a skill. Anything else? I'll take one more and remove the pressure. What's another way? Something else that we could do to prefer people. Okay, being considerate. I thought of some things I'd put up there. For those of you who don't know, that's a pen and paper. People used to write letters. You all know that. We all text now, right? We text and email. But how many of you like to get texts and emails from encouraging texts and emails and letters from other people? Yeah, that's good, right? I told the Academy students they could write encouraging notes to one another. I've found many notes in the Academy before, and some of them are very incriminating. I don't know how in the world the kids lose them, but they just lose sometimes self-incriminating notes. And I remember one time I found a note from one high school girl to another high school girl who was going through a problem, and the other girl was consoling her and telling her that she was praying for her. I thought, I'm going to frame this one. That was a good one. a good note. Those are good notes to find. Everybody likes to get those. I thought of, we could pray for one another, right? And then I always like it when people come up to me and tell me that they're praying for me because I need all the help I can get. When they're, you know, people pray for us. And then we can do what we're doing today is being in church. It's encouraging to be in church with others, right? I got that offline, Pastor. I don't know if you know how many pictures you have online or not, but sometimes I'll go on there and see myself. How'd that get there? Yeah, prefer one another. And the verse is Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. That's the bottom line, isn't it? Wow, that's tough. Kindly affection. Do we see a lot of that going on in the world today? Preferring one another? And we don't, because people in the world don't know the Lord, and the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not, right? And they're not being led by the Spirit. But I thought this could be a conversation to begin with somebody and even move toward the gospel. Yeah, there's a lot of animosity going on in the world today. There's a lot of division. People only knew that we're all related. What? That would start a conversation, wouldn't it? Yeah. And, you know, lead right to the gospel. And, you know, there'd be less division. Less division in the world, and people need to hear from us. And you know, I didn't say anything that we didn't know this morning, but I thought I'd just, you know, put something out there with a few verses, and hopefully it can be an encouragement, and it might be something that we may be able to use soon, this week even, with people, maybe if we're writing or texting, and the Lord does that, doesn't He? The Lord just uses something, you know, I don't know. I just have a lesson and something that the Lord laid on my heart, and the Lord may use it in your life in a completely different way, the way that the Lord does that, you know, with somebody that may need to know it. So let's pray and we'll be finished.